And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, you know, if prophecy includes anything, it includes machines. Machines. Because machines play a huge role in the life of Americans today. Without machines, well, where would we be? Well, some people say we'd be doing a lot better. We at least would have sane minds, perhaps. But I want to talk to you today about machines, about how they may impact what people think about God, and could machines become God to some people? And finally, we want to talk about the tribe or the race or the bloodline, or just the people, the tribe, let's just call them, who have exalted themselves and who say they are going to be the masters of a new world order, a Jewish utopia. They shall be exalted. They will be their own Messiah. And they'll rule over us. But there's only about 18 million of these people in the whole world. But could they use a bully boy to take over the world? Have they already got a bully boy? Is the United States their golem? And what is a golem? Well, the transformation of humanity, part two. Now, last week I talked about sex, politicians, and war, and how it seems that our governments don't really respect what you and I want. We want the Constitution that's been there for many years. We want the America that we've known to love, and now we're beginning to find it a little distasteful. We like the old America, and we want things back the way they were before gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and pornography, and incest, and vulgarity, and 50 shades of gray or whatever color you got, before robots and transhumanism and artificial intelligence and virtual reality and the internet and Google and so forth. You know, we'd be glad to do without these things. Just bring us back to maybe the 1950s or the 40s or 1960s, whenever. A lot of people say to me, Tex, do you ever feel that you're living in a unreal world? Do you ever feel like this is the Twilight Zone? You know, I do. Sometimes I sit and stare at my television screen, or I just sit in my old easy chair and I think back and I say, boy, things are crazy. This America is nuts. I was recently reading a report that says meditation is growing. You know, the thing where you put your legs together and you wrap your arms against around each other and you go om and you begin to chant and all that. But they said that meditation is popular because people are trying to slow the world down. Isn't that interesting? The world's too fast. Things are happening. They can't seem to stop it. You know, Juan and I were considering buying a new home recently, and we saw a number of homes, and they don't. The new homes today don't have any backyards. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit old. I don't want to go play in my backyard, but it'd just be nice to have a little bit of land, maybe 20 feet of backyard. But they don't have any backyards now, and the real estate person says they don't need them anymore. The kids are in the house. They're communicating with their friends, with their computers, with their iPhones. I said, well, really? Well, I used to play ball. We'd have to go out and find a place to play and play football or baseball, even if we had a, you know, an old tin can or, you know, anything we could play with or, oh, that. Well, soccer moms, you know, take their kids to the games. They're on a very tight schedule, too. Wow. And the kids start playing football in the peewee leagues as little tykes. And And you know, there's no freedom for the kids. And we went into neighborhoods, we didn't see any kids. We said, well, don't they have any children? Well, they're all inside. Or their parents are bringing them places. I feel sorry for the kids. They don't have any freedom. You know, I'll have to tell you, I had plenty of time. I thought about things. I didn't get bored. I made my own toys. I created my own games. And I thought about things. I remember I used to have a game, I called it World War III. And I would invent nations. And they all had names, and they would fight each other. And so this one had so many tanks, this one had so many nuclear bombs, and there would be a war, and different sides would win. I would do all kinds of things to think. And of course, I began reading at a very early age. There was a Half-Price bookstore. Actually, we didn't call them Half-Price bookstores. They really weren't that much, but, you know, you go down and buy a book for the equivalent of, to say, $20 today. But you could buy it second or third or fourth or fifth hand for 50 cents in these shops. And we'd go buy a whole box full of old books. You'd be amazed what I read as a kid. I read books that no one ever read. I read books by communists, by Nazis, against communists, against Nazism. And I would go to school. Sometimes we would do reports. They'd say, tell us about a book you've read. And I remember I was in the fourth grade. I came back and I explained about a book that I'd read about the nuclear explosions at Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. And I gave my little report and I talked about everything that happened, and the people's skin actually melted and fell off, and all these, how many people got killed, and so, and all the other kids were just amazed. They had their little books about, you know, I don't, Buffalo Joe or something, or, you know, I don't know what they had. Little kids' books. I was talking about something, you know, that the 40, 50-year-old people read. And the teacher said to me, I remember, she said, do you read those kinds of books, Tex? I said, that's the only kind I have. We didn't have any money to go buy kids' books. Of course, once I found out where the library was, I was the main, you know, culprit there. I was there all the time. I was in heaven. There was a library. They had books, real books. Had even newspapers from all over the world. It was like candy to me. But today's kids don't worry about that at all. I asked my grandkids, I only see them 2 weeks a year, when they came to see me, where would y'all like to go? We could go here. We could go see the, you know, Yosemite, or we could see this natural park or this creek or this swimming pool, or I want to go to Disney World. I want to. Disney World? That's artificial. That's tinsel. That's not even real. That's where I want to go. Well, let me admit to you something, friends. I have never been to Disneyland, and I have never been to Disney World. I will not take my kids or grandkids there. I'm just a mean old man. But if they want to go to Yellowstone National Park or Yosemite National Park or Big Bend National Park or some beautiful state park in Texas, if they want to go fishing or to the beach to see nature, I'll do that. But I'm not going to take them to Disney World or Disneyland. I'm just so mean. I'm just a cruel master. We live right near a creek. I told the kids, get on your, let's go hike some. Oh, I'd rather go, you know, do such and such. Why don't you want to walk down in the creek? It's exciting. No, not for them. No, we know about creeks. We want to go where there's people and, you know, and we want to ride cars or these little bitty bumper cars or what. Nonsense. Nonsense. I have a feeling that the whole world has been put into a trance. I do. I don't feel that we're here, folks. I don't believe you and I are. You know, I think many of you think just like I do. You want something real. God is real. Now, they have thousands of deities and gods in the world. And when I see all of these movies from Star Wars to Star Trek and on and on and on, I realize that the gods of today are not the God of the Bible. And to tell the truth about it, the kids find the Bible's boring.
Well, why are we, you know, I want something more exciting than that God or that deity.
So they're jazzing up the Bibles. They're having the Star Wars version of the Bible for the kids. They're in a trance-like state. They have the double mind inserted. They're in a trance-like state. And I believe the whole world is becoming barbaric. Barbarism. Psychopathic. Evil. Because that's what they see in the world. And why shouldn't they act that way? I want to talk to you today about the transformation of humanity by machines, robots, the internet, and what people think today of God. You know, God, I believe he has, I don't know what you'd call it, feelings, but he does. Some people say, well, you're putting human characteristics on God. Well, that's what the Bible says. He gets angry. He loves. He hates some things. Now, I know it's not popular to say today that God hates anything, but he does. I suspect he hates drugs. I suspect he hates pornography, prostitution. I believe that God hates cruelty and murder and rape and thuggery. Now, if you do any of those things, I think God hates you.
Oh, I thought he loved everybody.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But he loves you enough to give you an opportunity to get that out of your life, to ask him for redemption, to say, Lord, take it from me. And you won't think about that anymore. You'll think on things true and pure. But until then, God hates those things. You see, if you love somebody, you want the best for them. Does God want that for you? If you had a little child, would you want him to walk out into a public street if he's only 2 years old and their car is charging back and forth? Is that what you call love?
I don't think so.
God hates incest, vulgarity, infidelity, profane language, loss of the traditional family. He hates all those things. He does. But he also loves you and I. Now, I talked to you about Edward Bernays last week. He was the father of public relations, the father, you might say, of modern advertising. Here's what he once wrote. He wrote, human beings need to have Godhead symbols, and public relations councils must help to create them. We have no being in the air to watch over us. We must watch over ourselves. And that is where public relations counselors can prove their effectiveness, by making the public believe that human gods are watching over us for our own benefit. Everybody believes in angels. They're popular. Angel jewelry sells billions of dollars worth a year. Angels. Angels are watching over everybody. They want to make sure that everybody goes to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody believes they're going to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell, and most people don't believe in hell, but they believe in a heaven. I don't know why they should believe in anything. If you don't believe in a heaven or a hell, why would you believe in a heaven? Or vice versa. Now, our brains have changed. They really have. You know, the synapses, the chemical reaction back and forth. An article in UPI said that technology has spawned a new brain. I told you about that last week. People think differently. Their brains are, you know, arcing back and forth with electronic signals. And these two psychological scientists in Rome, in Italy, have written a new book called Techno-Liquidity. You think different. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. Have you ever read the book Democracy in America. Democracy in America. I forget the man's name who wrote it. I'm sorry. Democracy in America. Well, maybe somebody will call up while we're doing this program today. Democracy in America. It's written by a Frenchman who came to America when America was a brand new country after 1787. We had a constitution. We're just forming him. He wanted to know about this new America that had democracy, that had liberty, had freedom, had a republic. He wanted to know about it. But he wanted to know about the people. What kind of people were we? To create the first true republic, the first democracy, what were we? What? How did we think? What was our religion? What was our education system like? You know what he found? He found that people believed in Jesus, first of all. He also found that in every household, you see, most Americans think, well, you know, the world's gotten better and better. We've progressed. People are wiser today. They're smarter today. They know more. Now, let's go back to 1776, 1787. That we're talking about over 250 years ago when the Frenchman came to America and wrote the book Democracy in America. He said that whatever house he visited, whether it was plain and simple or a mansion, if it was a pioneer's house, a cabin back in the woods, the parents taught their kids. There was homeschooling. That's what they had. They may not have a public school system, but they had homeschooling. And every parent taught their kids, and there was everywhere books by Shakespeare, books about Plato, Aristotle, the classics. Yes, the classics, the Greek, the Roman classics. Now, if you ask a young kid today, does he study the classics? Has he studied Shakespeare? He wouldn't know what you were talking about, would he? No. He might know about the Grinch that stole Christmas or, you know, I don't know, little Donald Duck, but he wouldn't know anything about the classics or Shakespeare. But this guy said that in every home he visited, whether poor or rich, the kids had a few books. They studied the classics. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson at Monticello, where he lived, where he actually was an architect, he developed the house himself. He was only in his 30s, but Thomas Jefferson had a library of over 5,000 books. Think about that. 5,000 books. That was a smart man. He could converse on any kind of subjects. John Quincy Adams spoke 7 languages. Did you hear what I said? The third president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, spoke 7 different languages. Very educated man. Today, we're just a bunch of dummies. You show a picture of president of the a kid on the beach, a picture of the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden, and say, who is this man? He wouldn't know. He doesn't know who that is. You show a picture of Bill Clinton and say, who is this man? He said, I don't know. A guy like him used to look like the president, the principal of my high school. I don't know. But I'm not sure technology has spawned a new brain. I'm not sure our brains are wired differently. I think many of us have just gone crazy. We're insane. We've been driven nuts by the technology that exists. No wonder people are going for meditation. They do want to slow things down. They're going crazy. And they're, of course, they're taking all kinds of pills. I remember listening to a radio program some years ago. And the host said, well, he said, we're having a guest today. You know, Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. Johnson or whatever, has brought her, I think it was her 9-year-olds to get from class today to learn what we do in radio. There they are outside in the studio. You know, they have a glass panel there. And there they were in the studio, about 30-some-odd kids. Hi, kids, he said, the host. Then suddenly the host said, you know, I'd like to do an experiment here. He said, there's about 30, 35 kids here. How many of you children take a pill every day? They all raised their hands. Really, he said. He said, well, how many of you take a pill because you're too nervous? Or you're too anxious? Or you hit somebody? Or almost all but one or two raised their hands. And what is the pill, Sanders? Sanders over here in the broadcasting area. Ritalin, thank you, Ritalin. Hey, are you taking Ritalin? Okay. He asked him, how many of you children are now prescribed or receiving Ritalin every day? And you know, about 25 out of the 30 or 35 raised their hands. They knew what Ritalin was. And they knew they were taking it every day. Ritalin. He said, that's amazing. The whole world is taking Ritalin. Well, that actually is something, an excitant, that sort of, you know, makes you sort of, you know, shaky and excited and all that stuff. But when you give it to kids who are already excitable or shaky, it supposedly calms them down a little bit. Now, I doubt that, but anyway, that's the theory behind it. Brings them down from their high, and may, you know, if a kid is a normal kid in class today, well, he's incorrigible. He's, you know, if he pulls the little girl's hair, sits by the little girl and pulls her hair, and the teacher sees him, he's a monster. Because he's not behaving. But when he gets in high school, if he slugs the teacher or takes out a knife and stabs him, that's okay. He probably needs a little bit of counseling, that's all. And if he's black, he'll probably be given an award for it. I'm not quite sure what they do nowadays for that. But sometimes that does happen, it seems like. They're all in a trance state. The kids have all been put into a drug-like, pharmaceutical-induced state in which they really are hypnotic-based. They really can't figure out what's going on. They're not themselves. And when you receive these drugs as a little kid, your brain never has a chance to develop. If you receive drugs like that at age 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, then 20 years from now, you're going to be at that same development level as you were as a kid. Your brain is never given a chance then to progress, to develop. The transformation of humanity. Now, machines today. You know, I recently wrote a book called Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. Subtitle, Android Cyborgs and the Magic of Artificial Life. Robot Alchemy. I'm not sure that most people understood robot alchemy. Hundreds of beautiful pictures in all the newer robots. They can talk, they can move, they can think. They're almost like human beings now. I suppose some use robots for sex activity. I didn't have any like that in my book. I don't think I did. I didn't mean to. What is the robot? Well, for the rich today, they believe that through robotism, robotics, they can become transhuman. In other words, they can bypass or go past the human stage, that's what the word trance means, and move up and become some kind of a superhuman. Why, they can receive eternal life. In fact, many believe that they're going to be able to take their brains and everything in their brains they can download into a biochip. And then they can take a body of a robot, make it a beautiful body, or an ugly, but whatever they want. It can be a box-looking-like thing, or it can be a gorgeous. Then maybe they'll give you a catalog. You pick the body you want. They'll download your brain into that, and then your body is no good anymore after that. They'll just go ahead and kill you and put you in the, you know, whatever, burn you or throw you in the ocean, whatever. They don't need you anymore. They've got an eternal body. You say, Tex, that will never happen. Well, about 140 of the world's richest billionaires were in New York City just last year for a world conference on transhumanism. They wanted to know what they needed to do to buy a biochip and to download their brain into it so they could live forever. Oh, yes. You see, God has told us in the Bible we're going to live for a certain period of time. That's all our bodies are going to live. That's it. Everybody must die. Not everybody has to pay taxes. It's not true that only two certain things are death and taxes. Death, for sure. But these men believe that, they're going to live forever. They don't want Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, I can promise you you're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. But otherwise, I'm not sure. I think you're sunk. You're in a hypnotic trance state if you believe you're going to live forever. Your soul does not go into that biochip. I don't even know what that biochip is going to think. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think you can duplicate the soul, the spirit of a man or woman. Now, artificial intelligence, they're developing it now, and one company says, we can put the brain of a human being in a robot. And they believe now there are about 90% of everything in your brain can go in a robot. Of course, President Obama has declared a human genome project. They're going to map the brain, and every person on Earth, they're going to map the brain, and they'll find out what you're like, where you came from. If you commit a crime and you leave genetic material there, they're going to have a picture made. It'll say whether you have red hair or black hair, brown hair, blue eyes, whether you're fat or skinny, squat, tall, what race you are, where you came from, based on a little bit of spittle or blood or skin or a hair. Wow. Won't that be a crime solver? You got a hair left after a murder. We'll take that hair and we'll come out with a picture of the man. It'll be a 3D picture. It'll be a laser-generated picture. He'll walk and move about just like a real man. There's our criminal. Go get him. Wow. And they're building data banks across the DNA data banks, as I told you they would in my book, Project Lucid. Project Lucid tells you all about it. DNA data banks all over the world. Everyone will have their DNA data in a bank. It's amazing, isn't it? Microchips, nanorobots. Everybody, of course, will become a cyborg. You got a bad liver, a bad kidney, a bad heart. You get a new one. And people will change who they are almost with gene splicing. We'll all be robots. That's what they say. And God will change too. Or will he change? Will God stay the same, but we think different about him? I think that's already happened. I think people don't love the true God that exists, but some God that they've created in their own brain. The God of their understanding. And everyone will have a smorgasbord God. You'll have a God that you've chosen, but he'll be different than your neighbor's God. Why? Because you have your own needs, your own desires. And that God has to serve you, not the other way around. Your God will be chosen because he will serve you. That's the world we're headed toward. I'm Tex Morris. We're going to be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? We're looking at the transformation of humanity. Hello again, friends. I'm Tex Morris. Recently I wrote a book called Robot Alchemy. It's the most astonishing book, and I sent it to many of my friends, and I think they were sort of like taken aback. I guess they didn't know that I was interested in robots, but actually, I'm interested in all kinds of technology and how it's affecting the human brain and really taking man away from God. And that's what I discussed in Robot Alchemy. That's why I use the term alchemy. What does alchemy mean? It means the occult, the hidden, the deep and dark things. There's a lot of bad things about robots, and yet they seem so wonderful. Why, wouldn't you like a robot to help you around the house? Wouldn't you like a robot to drive your car for you so you can read and, you know, love the scenery as you go by? A lot of people would. A lot of people would like just a mate to talk with them, to converse with them, to sit down on the couch and say, how was your day, master? That leads to another point. Some people want to be the master. And it doesn't seem like you can be a master. There's always problems with people. But with robots, why, you can program them and then they'll be your servant forever. They'll worship you. You'll be their idol. They will believe you're their God. I wonder if that's why robots are taking hold today. Now, if you don't believe they're taking hold, my friends, oh my goodness. I hope you'll get to a computer and Google up the word robot. Advancement in robots. Look at that. See what's going on. In fact, you may not realize it, but your government has spent billions for robots. Oh, I've known about this for a long time. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, spent billions. They're going to be used in warfare. A drone is a robot, of course. Pilotless aircraft of many different sizes. Your morning newspaper, or if you buy something from Amazon on the internet, they might deliver it to you by drone within a couple of years. You order something from internet and a drone arrives and parks right in front of your door, and you take the package out of the drone and it takes off back to Amazon. You get the same package in one day. How could that be? Well, it might be that letters are sent that way. Maybe you'll own your own drone. Maybe you'll own a fleet of drones. And they'll be sending correspondence and letters everywhere. They'll be traveling, wherever your friends are. In Borneo, Indonesia, Toledo, Ohio, or Tulsa, Oklahoma. It sounds so incredible, but I've studied cyborgs, androids, robots, and I believe we're on the very threshold of something amazing, wonderful, and frightening. Now, this book has hundreds of photos, gorgeous photos. I have done research at the top labs. I haven't done personally done the research, but I've found out what they're doing and gone there and taken the pictures, and many of them are right. They send me their state-of-the-age photographs and of what they're doing. There's robots that look exactly like human beings. They flutter their eyes, their eyelids, that is. And they speak in a nice, soft voice. And you think they're just lovely. There's a book out recently called Sex with Robots. Goodness gracious, I missed that book. I never got it. I wasn't too interested in that. But, boy, with everything happening today, no telling what's going to happen next with robots. Of course, there's the police robots. The professional athlete robot, you heard it right. How are you going to feel about a pro football game when all the participants are robots? It looks like we're sort of developing robots among the pro players now. They don't look like you and I, do they? They're the NBA basketball stars or whatever. They look like androids. Well, anyway, Robot Alchemy is the name of the book. Hope you'll order it from us. It's $30. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $35. It's about twice as big as a regular book. And hundreds of color photos. It's a lovely book. I give my people here credit. Sandra Myers put this book in print for me. I wrote every word. I got all the pictures. I chose them. But she does a lot better job in arranging things. If you got our newsletter every month, you know that Sandra does a great job and all the pictures and the print and all that, and she makes it look good. The newsletter says what I say, but she does make it look good. I give her great credit for that. Okay. You know, it takes some good people in a ministry to put out a book like Robot Alchemy. And we do. I want you to have a copy of this. You know, I was the first person in the world to write a book on robot careers. Robot careers. I was the first person to write the personal robot book. A book about personal robots. Robots you could use in your home. You could own. The personal robot book. In fact, that book was a selection of the Computer Book Club and the Electronics Book Club. People say, well, Tex, what are you doing writing books like that? Well, what am I doing writing books called DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline? Or what am I doing writing a book on mysterious monuments about architecture? Or what am I doing writing a book on Codex Magica about the secret hand signs of the elite and of the Illuminati? I'm just interested in these subjects. God has put them in my heart. Nobody else writes about them, but I do. And I've written this book, and some people say, at least some people say, it's the most four-sided book they've ever seen on robots. It's just incredible. Well, I don't know how incredible it is. Just something I enjoyed doing and researching. And I think you will enjoy it too. Again, $30. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $35 for this book. You can write to us, send us your check or money order, or cash, to Power of Prophecy or to Text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website. Ask for the book Robot Alchemy. Order it there. Use your PayPal account or your charge card. What is our website? Why, it's TexMars.com. How easy can it be? Or PowerOfProphecy.com. PowerOfProphecy.com. By the way, you can get all our books there. All the books I just mentioned a while ago and many more in our tapes. You get today's program, a two-tape set, The Transformation of Humanity, Parts 1 and 2, from our website. Or just by calling our toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're discussing the transformation. That's trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N, of humanity. This is part two. We're looking at machines and God. And finally, the exaltation of a certain tribe of people who claim to be God's chosen, who claim that they are gods on earth. They're divine beings. If you're not one of these people, and there are only about 18 million in the whole world, if you're not one, well, you're just a beast. You're only fit to be their slave. That's what they say in their Talmud, the Jews do. You know, I've got a real feeling in my heart about that. You see, God says he's the boss and he's arranged things the way he wants. And he says he is no respecter of persons. He says that the concept of seed is spiritual. And he says in his book, the Holy Bible, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28, he says, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise is that? What promise did Abraham want? What did he want more than anything in his whole life? I'm going to tell you about it right now. You may not think so, but it's right there. Paul says in the Bible, well, he says all the prophets, they wanted one thing. One thing. In fact, all of the saints of God want just one thing. They want to be in heaven with Jesus. They don't, none of them have ever known what heaven was like except the few that went there. Some of them have died and gone there already, you know. And many more to come, the book of Revelation says. And Paul says that here, We have no continuing city. Those are his words in the Bible. Here have we no continuing city. We don't have Jerusalem. We don't have Washington, D.C. We don't have Tokyo. We don't have any city. If you believe in Jesus, if you know Jesus, if you belong to him, you're Abraham's seed, you're an heir according to promise. And if you're an heir, what are you going to get? All heirs receive an inheritance. What did Abraham receive? Well, if he received the city, the earthly city of Jerusalem, no good to him anymore. Is it? He's not there. Jacob. How about him? How about Elijah? How about Jeremiah? How about King David? Jerusalem doesn't do them any good at all. They don't even want it. They don't even like it. They see it as nothing. They express, along with Paul, here have we no continuing city. What we want is a heavenly city with temples, with a temple made without human hands. They didn't want a temple on earth either. You know, there's some of the finest buildings in the world. I mean, there's incredible buildings. The wonders of the world are in architecture. And not a one of them is worthy of the lowliest Christian. What did I say? Not a one of the buildings on this planet are worthy of the lowliest Christian. Because everything in heaven is going to be better. It is. Paul said we can't even understand it. We cannot even imagine it. Now, I've always said, look, I'm just willing to live in a shack out in the forest somewhere. Just give me Jesus. That's all I want. Well, that's what Abraham wanted. That's what all of them wanted. They want a heavenly life, a heavenly existence. And Paul said they all look to a heavenly. I mean, you couldn't show them a great temple, a great mausoleum, a great monstrosity somewhere. They weren't interested in the White House or the Kremlin or some great building. But heaven, that's another story. That's another matter, isn't it? That's their inheritance. Eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. Man, they wanted that. And you know they got it. They did. Every one of them have received that. How did they get it? Did they work for it? No, they didn't even work for it. They didn't even work for it. Now, I'm not saying they didn't work. A lot of them were very hard workers. But that's not how they got it. They got it because they believed. They believed. And it was imputed to them for righteousness. Now, that's what I call a real promise. That's what I call a real inheritance. Can you imagine going to a lawyer's meeting and them saying that, you know, you're an heir? Say, well, what did I get? Well, now, if you work your whole life, and maybe you work 100 other lives through reincarnation, maybe, just maybe, you'll get to heaven. Boy, that's pretty tough. But what if you were told, did you believe in Jesus? Yes. Oh, walk right on in. It's yours. Believe in Jesus Christ, and he'll change you forever. Well, now we have today incredible technologies. Gene splicing. Everybody says, well, that's great. I want to be able to choose the kind of baby I want. Boy, girl. Green eyes, brown eyes. Yes. And the Jews say, we want genetic engineering to include this science. We want everybody's brain modified. We want genetically for everybody to love Israel. We want for everybody to know that Israel is God's chosen. That we Jews are superior to all men. We're going to modify their brains. Mm-hmm. Before you're ever born, we're going to implant a gene the Jewish love gene.
Mm-hmm.
Before you ever come out of your mom's womb, you're going to have a gene, the Jewish gene. We will never have anti-Semitism again. You'll think, you'll act, you'll behave, you'll worship the Jews. Would you accept that gene, friends? Well, what if you don't even know about it? What if it's implanted in you before you're ever born? You may say that gene will never be born. That gene will never be developed. Are you sure? I'm here to tell you, there is a project like that. I'm not going to reveal any more about it today, but you'll know about it soon enough. If you're an anti-Semite, don't worry. They're going to take care of you as an adult. They're going to inject you with a nanorobot. It'll be so small you can't see it. It'll be given to you as a vaccine, maybe as a form of medicine. It will go in your brain, into your amygdala, the front part of your brain, and suddenly you'll think different. It'll be as if you were given a lobotomy by a nanorobot. You'll even love Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
You'll do whatever Big Brother says. If he says kill your sister, or your mother, your father, of course you'll do it. It's for the good of everyone. It's for your good.
You'll love killing your brother. You'll love beating your mother in the head with a stick till she's dead.
How do I know? Because that's genetics.
There was a book some years ago written by an English scientist entitled The Selfish Gene.
This scientist, Philip Dawkins, if I can remember right, said that the problem with humanity is we all have a selfish gene, a gene that does not love our Mother Earth, a gene that,
well, believes in that old fundamentalist God. We need to get rid of that gene.
And we can. We can have a new earth. We can have a great utopia on this planet if everybody were to change their genes. Get rid of that gene. Get rid of that selfish gene.
Isn't that frightening to you?
Your baby is born, or you are taken away to a hospital, and they say, this operation will only take 5 minutes, and when you come out, you'll be thinking different. You'll be born again.
Ah, yes.
But it's a different kind of birth, isn't it? We'll give you a new gene. We'll get rid of your selfish genes.
We'll have created the Borg. I believe this is the future of humanity, dear friends. The Borg.
What is the Borg? It is the integration of all the brains on this planet. A planetary brain. A planetary computer system.
I don't know what form it will take. We used to think of it as one big giant computer. Remember the UNIVAC machines that were as big as a house, but they were only able to do the work of an iPhone today, not even that much computer work.
But today, thousands of brains, millions, perhaps several billion, can think alike with the internet. But that has not been wired into your brain yet. There has not been a gene or a chip of some sort to integrate the internet so that you think just like everyone else and they think like you do. You're part of the Borg.
B-O-R-G.
You used to think about this deity called Jesus Christ, but you don't anymore. You're part of the Borg. And someone has decided what the Borg will think, and that's what it will think. And the Borg will be you, and you will be it, and it will be humanity, and that will be the total transformation of humanity.
And little Dorothy will have it right when she says, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Christians even today are changing without becoming a member of the Borg or part of the Borg or part of the internet. Without their brains being rewired, they're changing. Everywhere I go, I talk about the old Jesus. They say, I want to know about the new. I don't believe in sin and hell and those things. Let's talk about a new Jesus, a positive Jesus. I want a best way. I want everyone to consider that God is, you know, like, well, it's Friday for everybody. Friday at 5 o'clock, that's God. Well, the Jews say that we're all sinking. We're going to sink into Judaism. They say that Christianity came out of Judaism and it's going to fold back into Judaism. There will be a Jewish utopia. That's in the Jewish law book, which of course is called the Babylonian Talmud. In the Talmud, it says that the Jews will someday receive their kingdom, but it will be a kingdom unlike anything you've ever conceived. It will be a kingdom in which the Jews will be masters and the Gentiles will be their slaves, and all of the slaves will give all of the riches to the Jews, and the Jews will be as gods on earth. They will be gods. They will not need a god to overlook them or oversee them or watch them. They will be their own gods, their own deities. I was reading a book by Douglas Rushkoff entitled Not Sacred. He says, we Jews are so bright, we're so intelligent, we're so smart. We don't need the old god. We don't need the old god of Judaism. We can change Judaism. We can call it Judaism, but it'll be a different form of Judaism. Why, we can be our own gods. We can write our own rules. In fact, that's what Jews do now. We write our own rules in the Babylonian Talmud. That's not written by God. That's written by rabbis. And it says in the Babylonian Talmud, the one that the Jews use today in their synagogues, it says that Jews are smarter than God and that rabbis give God spiritual advice. Well, I never knew that. When God needs spiritual advice, he has to go to a rabbi. Well, when this new world comes, though, we'll all be part of the Borg. We'll be wireless, of course. You'll have Wi-Fi in your home, everywhere. The whole world will be Wi-Fi. And I don't suspect they'll call it Bluetooth, but somehow you'll be connected to the international Wi-Fi system. And you know that old guy, the mean one? The one that died on the cross for your sins? He'll be gone. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen, friends. Man is becoming very arrogant. To become your own Messiah, your own God, that's very arrogant. To say that our God will be as we understand him, as we choose, he'll serve us. That's what they say now. You know, Kenneth Copeland and all of the charismatics, they, you know what? That's what they say. Don't pray to God, just command him. Decree, God, go get this for me. Go do this for me. Serve me. They say envision a God, create an image of God, and after he has come to you, say, go and do this. That's what Kenneth Hagin said. He says, tell God, go and bring me money. Benny Hinn said, we don't need God money in heaven. We need it right now. I did a whole video on things like that, showing what these people are really saying. It's entitled, The Blind and the Dead. The Blind and the Dead. You might want to order that video. The beauty of the Jewish religion, according to the Jews, is that it's changing. It has the capability of changing because it's not written by God. It's not the mind of God. It's what Jesus said are the traditions of the elders. Remember that? That's in the New Testament. You do not worship the God of your fathers, but instead you have for your religion the tradition of your fathers. The traditions. It's whatever the rabbis say, the ancient rabbis. the wise, the all-wise rabbis, they know more than God. They've even put it all in a book. There's, 613 laws in that book. Then there's the Kabbalah that has all the secrets and the mysticism and the occultism. And it says the Jews are to be worshipped. Only the Jews are chosen by God. Only they are the seed of Abraham. Well, now, that's not what the Bible says. I've expressed it to you today. It says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. They say, no, that's wrong. We know our rabbis have told us. And millions of Christians believe the Jews instead of God. I have not talked to one pastor. Let me say something to you, friends. I am over 70 years of age. I have never in my life, and I've talked to a lot of pastors, I've never talked to a pastor who has read and can understand Galatians chapter 3 and 4, for that matter. And it is so simple. It says Abraham had a seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that, friends? The seed is Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in Galatians 3, and if ye belong to Christ, if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So let's go back and look at it again. Abraham, he was made righteous by God. Abraham had a seed. His name, Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, including Abraham, is Abraham's seed. It's a spiritual matter.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe in physical things. I want something I touch. I can feel.
You don't want the Bible then. Jesus said you must be born again in spirit and in truth. You can't see truth. You can't feel spirit, can you? I believe if you know Jesus Christ, you can. You can feel it. You can know it. You can taste it. And you'll be the heir. The Jews say, I want right now. I want my riches on earth. I want to be my own God, my own Messiah. Give it to me. And they killed the Messiah. They killed the just one. They're exalted by Christians everywhere today, but not by God. Humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you. Remember that, friends. Humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you in due time. This is Tex Mars. It's been great being with you today. We've looked at the transformation of humanity, parts 1 and 2. We have seen that sex, politicians, war, machines, the concept of God, who God is, what He's going to do for you and me, and the race that claims to be the chosen, the superior. All of these things are part of a trance that has affected men everywhere. Do you want to escape this trance? Do you want to live a real life in which you're awake to the world? Then come to know Jesus Christ. Believe me. Be born again in spirit and in truth. This is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in each week at the same time and discover the power of prophecy.